you're standing on holy ground. So we need to focus our mind, our attention to God alone. Not on me. Natalikod ako para ano, para hindi kayo titigil sa akin. I want you to focus on God, not on me. Okay? Thank you, Brother Del, for my introduction, but he's still in the city, kaya I'm not into history, but we'll be looking at some of the history also, because our topic for today, I understand that for the month of May, it's about relationships. Okay? But I'm kind of a relationship with God. I know, but I need to speak in Tagalog. I'll speak in English. Okay. So it's about relationships. Still, why is it rejoice in the Lord is the topic? It's not me who chose the topic. It's, I believe it's God. And when I was preparing this word, what is it that what you want me to know that I can impart? And that it's about God, and also about you, because it's important to understand this. And as you know, the topic will be taken from the book of Philippians. Okay, Philippians 4, to be honest, to be complete. So, if you will notice that, I hope you don't mind if I move around. Okay? Maybe I will be moving wherever. So, okay. So, it's when Apostle Paul wrote this, this is one of the prison epistles. Okay? If you're in prison, what do you think will be your thoughts? Maybe, what did I do wrong? Or maybe, where can I get liberated? Or where can I be free from this prison cells? But Paul was, that was not the mind of Paul when he wrote this. He was being led by the Spirit of God. God allowed these things to happen to him. Sometimes God put us into a situation wherein I don't deserve this, but he's looking at the different things in life. He's looking at something far above this earth. And when he wrote this, he heard a lot of things within the Philippian church. You know, he wrote Corinthians. Sometimes I give something, not really jokes, but sometimes, are you Corinthian church? Are you Galatian church? Are you Colossian church? How do you define yourself? I'm not saying that we are limiting ourselves to this. Are you Philippian church? So normally, when you say Philippian church, historically people would say, this is a joyous church. However, even though this is a joyous church, there is still some disagreements, there are still some problems in the church, because we are still on earth, we are still in the presence of sin. Yet, God is still working in us, right? So when he wrote this, we say that there are so many challenges. You know, the basic things that Paul wrote. Okay, so the basic things, before I will pray, the basic things of Paul in writing, in most epistles, is about love. Sometimes love is sometimes jeopardized with disagreements, leading to disharmony. And one of the things, again, is joy, is diminished by harsh conditions over which we may have no control. And the last is another one, is peace. Seems to be an impossibility in a world of stress and strife. Now let us meet ourselves together. Okay, let's go ahead. Father, we are here because of you, Lord. We are here because you called us. It's not an accident that we are here, Father. You have a purpose. You want us to be counseled by you, Lord. You want us to be together as your people. You called us from the world, and you want us to be molded by your Spirit, to be just like Christ. Father, right now as we have this message, fill us by your Spirit, O God, so that everything that we will do will be pleasing to you, O God. And Father, help us if there's any rough edges in our lives, if there's anything that we need to be corrected by you, O God, or anything that, something of praise, O God, may it be for your glory, Father. So Father, thank you for this time that we can be together as your people. And may the name of Jesus be magnified in our lives, O God. So, Father, draw your people to yourself, O God. Father, we bring back all the glory for you, all the glory belongs to you. We continue to bless your name, for your name is worthy to be blessed. And this is we pray in Christ's name. So, remember that as I mentioned a while ago, that Philippians is more or less about the joy. But where does this joy come from? Is it because my seatmate is a joyous person? Is it because that I have a very wonderful fellowship here? Is it because I just feel positive? Is it because I have no stress in life? Or maybe because I'm blessed, because I have a good job, I have a wonderful family, or because you can think of any a lot of things. But we can see here that the joy is from the Lord. I want you to hear this. Say it. I want the joy is from
the Lord.
If you will always think about that, even if in different circumstances, then you will always find something different. And you learn something from it. It's not that you learn something, then forget about it. No, you always learn, then it's God helping me. When you were young, do you think that you're going to Canada? I never thought about going to Canada. What's done that? Anyways, I always think of America. You know, I'm older than you described before. The thinking before is go to America. But God works in different ways that He brought me here. He brought you here. So to be straight about this lesson today, he was in prison. He was in prison, and thinking about when he wrote this, he has so much things to be thankful for. And however, there was this incident that happened in the Philippians church. And I want you to think about these things that happened. Okay, let us go first in Philippians chapter 4 so that we can understand this message. Philippians chapter 4. It may be a long one, but bear with me, this is important. My dear brothers, I will be reading from the New Living Translation again. Chapter 4, 1 to 20. Dear brothers and sisters, I love you and long to see you, for you are my joy and the reward for my work. So please stay true to the Lord, my dear friends. And now, I want to plead with those two women, Lydia and Syntyche. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle the disagreement. And I ask you, my true teammate, to help these women, for they work hard with me in telling others the good news. And they work with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life. Always be full of joy in the Lord. And say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate. In all you do, remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing. As I close this letter, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned from me and I heard from me and I saw and so be doing, and God of peace will be with you. How grateful I am. Verse 10, how grateful I am and how I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but for a while you didn't have the chance to help me. Now that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to get along happily wherever I have much or little. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or with empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me the strength I need. But even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians, you were the only ones who gave me financial help when I brought you the good news and then traveled from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. What I want is for you to receive a well-earned reward because of your kindness. At the moment, I have all I need, more than I need. I am generously supplied with gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable to God and pleases Him. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now, glory be to God the Father forever and ever. Amen. So, how do we reach this? We have to rejoice in the Lord. There are some things that we have to learn from this lesson, from the scripture here. Okay. In verses 1 to 3, there was a disagreement. You know what? If you are writing from afar, Paul was writing from afar, he was in prison. He heard the story. And it was it's kind of a serious thing. He has to mention the names of two ladies. The names are Eudoia or Eudoias or Syntyche. So they are laborers of the Lord. They were believers. We don't know the story. I will not create any story. I will not make any story. But they were in disagreement. I don't know what. Let us not second guess. What were this disagreement? Don't do it. Because it's not stated in the scripture. So we don't need to do it. So maybe whatever disagreement. But the thing here is that even Paul himself called these names. So in other words, this is a serious thing. He was writing about it. He was in Rome when he wrote this. Philippians, 30 ladies. You know what? If you're serving the Lord, it's not good that there will be disagreements within you. Because it sucks our strength. You know what? I don't want it pulling away of these things that it sucks the nature of the fellowship. You know what? We have the fellowship. Okay? The fellowship will never be broken. If you're a believer, it will never be broken. You're a child of God. But the fellowship may be broken because of sin or because of disagreement. So here, Paul calls the names of these two ladies. It's in my notes. Paul calls the names of these two ladies. And the second one is, you need to be reconciled. Because the testimony will not be good if there will be continuously and you turn a blind eye or I don't think. It's hard. If you're a peacemaker, you're always looking for something that is right. You don't compromise, but you look for something that is right. In the sight of God, this is not right. So you have to go and settle this disagreement. Actually, he called these people. It's not because these two ladies cannot agree to each other. So that's why, church. Hey, church. You know this. You know this has happened here. Help them. It's quite hard for them to agree. So how do we do it? course, by prayer. Other people, they do the prayer fasting. You don't present yourself, hey, I'm a good peacemaker. Sit down and you will settle this thing. It's still the Lord who will make amends in their hearts. So it's hard if you just imagine the teaching of Jesus in Matthew 5:23-24. It says, therefore, if you have an offering, if you are offering your gift at the altar and you hear that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. What do you think these two ladies are doing? They ignore this message? They just give their offerings? No. I think very straightforward is the teaching of Jesus Christ. If there's any disagreement within the church, settle it right away. Reconciliation is important because it gives God the glory. That gives God the glory. And the thing that to have this rejoicing, it will be through outward harmony. Because it's visual. It's an outward thing. What if people will come into that Philippian church and they get in disagreement? I thought you love each other. Why are you not accepting these things? It may be a big thing, maybe a small thing, etc. The way it is that we just have to be honest. Just humble ourselves. Lord, I think I'm right, but still, I will humble myself. Maybe other people may do that. Or maybe Syntyche is right. So I have to settle this one. So, to rejoice in the Lord and to have peace inside the church, it must be through outward harmony. Second, you can rejoice in the Lord if you have inward peace. It's hard to say, praise the Lord, then you have no inward peace. Okay? Now, these are the things that you can find in the scripture that we have just read. Six necessary steps in Christian living. Okay, maybe hard. Okay. Number two, letter A, be joyful. Remember I told you a while ago? You cannot create your own joy. The joy comes from God. Have you remembered incidents in your life that whatever is happening, there's still joy in your life? Remember that? It's because God is the one. It's just a spring well. Continuously in your life. The way to do it is to open up your heart to God. Lord, it's hard. But I want to be joyful because I know what you did for me 2,000 years ago. I know what you're going to do to me. You know, the faith, hope, and love. Faith is looking back. Hope is looking forward. And love is now. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of this is love. Because you're living in that situation. So be joyful. It's a command. It's an imperative thing. Meaning to say, we have to, it's always good to have this, even though we may not rejoice over existing circumstances. You know your situation. Every person here has a story. Maybe back to here in Canada or wherever, mostly from the Philippines, we have different situations. But just imagine, God led you through all these things. Isn't it that's a thing to rejoice? Praise God that He loves me even though I was not a Christian then. He was working my life. When I became a Christian, the more that I saw the beauty of God, the beauty of Jesus. Wow. So it's a reality. I'm not glossing this over with wax. No. Even though we are circumstances in life, we can still find joy in the Lord. Again, I will say joy only, but joy in the Lord, because you cannot create your own joy. So you can always find something in circumstances. Okay? So number two is be gentle. You can find that in let everything, okay. In verse 5, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. If you're considerate, you give allowances. So people will make mistakes, definitely. So you have to be gentle to other people. Gentleness is important. You know what? When I was being interviewed here in one of my employers here, the employer asked me, how do you describe Canadians? In one word. Okay, you know what my answer was? Gentleness. For me, I find them very gentle. Maybe you find them gentle, but it's okay. That's fine. It's only my own point of view. Okay, I find them very gentle. And if Canadians are gentle, how much more love? God has been very gentle to you and to me. He's been very kind. If you will say just, Lord, for just being gentle to me, I don't deserve to receive this blessing. But you've been very kind to me, day by day, and you've been kind to me. True. Now, it's not that we are just recipients of gentleness, but be gentle. It says here, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. In all you do, you are considerate also. I'm not saying that you just pass on the scene. Yeah, you have to voice out that there's something wrong, but sometimes you have to be considerate. Being considerate, it means an agreeable disposition, or you are in moderation. It means you are gracious also, and gentle. And also, why are you so gentle? Because the Lord is coming soon. If you say something that is not gentle, and that people will lean away from that. So let us be considerate to us by people, because the Lord is coming soon. We want, it's not us who is drawing people to Christ, but it's the Father who is drawing people to Christ, and we are just being used by God. So, be gentle. Just remember that. I want to be gentle to people around me. I don't know. Number three, be trustful. Oh, okay. Trust. Free from worry and anxiety. You know, when I was driving here, I said, oh, I don't know, I may be late. Maybe Brother Adel might be thinking, where's Brother Bobby? Sister, where's Brother Bobby? Where is he? She's supposed to be here. You know, sometimes, if you're pressed with time, your mind is probably so fast. Sometimes, if any anxiety, have you experienced being anxious in life? Yes, but still, we are commanded, we are asked to be trustful. God will be with me, God is in control. And, just to trust God. Lord, you allow these things to happen, I think you have a purpose for this. And worry is something, because it's here, we put it in, here, it's in the negative statement. Don't worry about anything. See? It's a negative statement. But here, I put it in the positive statement. Be trustful. Why dwell in the negative? Remember, this is just in passing, okay? In the Israelites, this is the comments, isn't it the commandments, the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. It's a positive statement, right? But people, they cannot understand that. How can I love God? How can I? So God put it in a negative statement. Thou shalt not have any gods or you. Thou shalt not. It's a negative. The Ten Commandments. Only one is in positive, two. Honor the father and mother. That's a positive. And also honor the Sabbath. But all the rest, do not cheat. Do not hurt. The negative statement. People will understand that. Here, going back here, this is a negative statement. Don't worry. Okay, how do I not worry? Be trustful. That's a positive statement. Free from worry. But can I be free from worry? Okay. Other people are good in handling situations, that other people are not. So as Christians, since we have known the Lord, what can we do? Let's go to the fourth one, which is the prayer. Prayer, supplication, talking. Prayer generally means talking to God. Supplication means in detail you're telling God what you need. Supplication in detail. I'll put this, put your acts together. What do you mean put your acts? I put acts in acronym. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Putting your acts together when you pray. So prayer is having a relationship. If you want to know a person, isn't it that you want to spend time with him? Right. No, the more you talk to that person, the more that you know something about them. Prayer is speaking with God. The more that you talk to God, the more that you know him. We may not understand the whole thing, but on that particular time, his grace is sufficient. God, thank you because you led me through. So, being prayerful will is a solution to your worry. Remember this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Small, big, large, wide, deep. When I was a younger person, I prayed, but when I became a Christian, I understood how to pray. Thank God. And I also listen to the prayers of others. You know that? And myself, because it's good. How does people pray? I read how people pray in the Old Testament. How Jesus prayed. Because if you use the words of God, I think. So whenever I hear people pray, I listen. Thank you. It's a nice prayer. It's not, even I listen to even younger child. A young child. Whenever they pray for my mom loves me. Yeah, it's nice how to say that. I listen to prayer. Listen to other people's prayer. Thank God. And you pray also. Be prayerful because it's important. Very effective. Not because it's a solution. Just a function that you have to do, but it is important for us to be prayerful people. Remember that Philippians are prayerful people. And be peaceful. Well, it's related to the first point that there is outward harmony. You think of something that is peaceful. It's a peaceful. Okay. God's peace is different. Okay? It's different from the world's peace. In John chapter 4:27, okay, true peace is not found in positive thinking. Okay? It's not found in positive thinking, in absence of conflict, or in good feelings. It comes from knowing that God is in control. This is the most important part. You will have peace because you know that God is in control. That even if you're praying for somebody who is sick in the Philippines or somewhere, Lord, your hand is not so short to reach them. You will have peace. Lord, be beside my brother who is sick in Saudi Arabia or wherever. Pray. And you will have peace. Even though you cannot see them, you cannot touch them. But because you call on the Holy God, you call on the one who has interest in you. He's interested in you. Not only to the interest of other people. He's interested in you. He's interested in you. You know, this is the thing that I heard one time in the preaching. Sometimes a family has three children. Okay? So, do you love your children? Yes. But how much? 100%. I don't think so. You cannot love them 100% because you're not God. You can love them maybe 50%, 50%. Well, but God is able to love you 100%. Love you 100%. Love you 100%. And we know that God is He's able to do it. So, well, okay, being peaceful. Okay, being peaceful is it comes from knowing that God is in control. Our citizenship is in God's kingdom. Our destiny is set, and we have a victory over sin. Let God's peace guard us. So, you know, another story that came up: people have been fighting just for peace. You know that? Have you heard of the story? That in World War I, there was a time that the Germans and I think the French and the British people, during Christmas time, there was no the Christmas Eve. You Google it, you can see that. Google it, there was a story. So during the First World War, it was the eve of Christmas. And one camp, they started singing their Christmas song. And the other camp, they heard it. They started in their own. Then the other camp, these are in their own languages. Okay? Even though they are at war at that time, they went out because of Christmas Eve, because of Christ. They were together. They were together at that time. People are looking for peace. Tell you. You want peace? Go to God. You cannot find peace in anywhere. And that in that story, for that particular story, they shook hands. I think they played some games, but after that, they sang Christmas songs and after that they went back. After a while they started shooting again. I mean because they're at war with each other. However, you can see that the heart of man is looking for peace. They will fight, even they can even go to war just to say, I will be at peace. And be secure. Okay. To secure yourself, of course, it's God who will give the assurance. The assurance. And it will be, and there's a role for us. Because here it says here, His peace, okay? You know that there's peace. Will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So, you want to be in Christ, you want to have this security, you know that you're settled, secure is to be settled. No matter what will happen to me, I'm sick today, I have no money today, I have no money in the bank, my work will be secure. Even though maybe there will be some turbulence in the coming days, but you know that God is in control. You will find something that God will work you through. So there will be rejoicing, and it will be an inward peace. The third one. So here, the fruit of the Spirit is just, I mentioned this because it's important. Galatians 23, love, joy, peace, because some of them are being mentioned here. That's why it's important that we have to know them. So the next one is godly. You can find rejoicing, or you can rejoice in the Lord through godly contentment. You know the story of Paul that before he became a Christian, remember that he was contented in life. I think he's a well-off person. Remember, he's a Pharisee. He's a member of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a learned person. People respected him. What more? But when he became a Christian, God placed him in a different situation. God said, I will use you for a special purpose. Well, what happened to him is that there were times that he was shipwrecked, he was mobbed. He was, you know what happened to Paul? So, there was a time that he was in need, financial need. And the people, the Philippians, because they have the joy in the Lord, because they are at peace with God, they saw the need. You know, if you see a need of other people, collectively, just talk. May kapatid tayo, may kapatid brother or sister who is in need. Can you really share something? I'm sharing this because I don't know if you know the God's dwelling place. God's dwelling place is a church, mostly Filipino, in Rambo. And there was a couple who went to the Philippines for a mission and vacation. In the north, they had an accident, a huge accident. Okay? Just recently. Okay? So, they have travel insurance. However, that they have to be transported from the province to Manila, and the plane, the helicopter plane, is not included in the travel insurance. So they have to pay for the expense. So the church heard about this. They started. Don't you feel it? I can feel it. As we speak today, they have a fundraising now in God's dwelling place. Just to meet the needs of our brothers. Paul was in need. Pero hindi siya nagbebeg. Paul was not a beggar. He's content with what he has, whether he was in his stomach or empty. He's content. And you can find rejoicing in the world, you have nothing. He was on the extreme side of being rich. He was on the extreme side of being poor financially. But let us go back a little bit in chapter 3. I want you to read this. Chapter 3, verse 7. Because this is what Paul said. Philippians 3, 7. I once thought all these things were so very important, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. In achievements, everything in riches in life, they thought this is important in life. And when he realized what God has done for him, these are not important. The important thing is relationship. Again, we go back to the topic, relationship. Because everything that we're talking about here is about relationship. Remember, outward harmony is about relationship. Inward peace. How can you have good relationship with other people? You yourself, inwardly, you are at war with yourself. And contentment, whether food or anything, you cannot find joy in the Lord. But always. I'm saying this because when I mentioned about gratitude, this is the word here is gratitude expressed. He was very thankful. Paul was very thankful for the being of the church. He was not begging. He was not asking. But the Philippian church had a different eye. This person needs something. We collect something for him. And this, it says here, this is the only church who saw it. And they did it not only once, but many times over. So he was just being very expressive. And if you receive blessing, express it. Praise God. Thank God. Brother, thank you for helping me. Sister, I really appreciate it. Sometimes if you have to cry, just tears of joy, do it. You have to express. No, not don't fake it. Express what's your inside. Thank you, Lord. I don't see this coming. It's here. And the lesson learned is that not 111, but 110 and 11. And the thing here is that lesson learned here is that a lot of people learn from each other. Paul learned from the Philippians. Philippians learned from Paul. It's both things. And both of them learned from God. still, it's the overarching. It's still God working in the hearts and minds of people. And here, it's almost related to each other because it's in verses 10 to 20. This is about giving and receiving. Okay, if you're a person who always gives, okay, then there might come a time that you are in need. Don't be proudful of receiving now. Because I've seen people, they used to giving, helping people. Now they were in need. Oh no, I can do it. Remember Peter? Washing the feet of the disciples. What did Peter say? No, don't wash my feet. If you're going to wash my feet, wash my feet with your body. It's kind of something like that. Because you're used to giving people, helping people. Now you're the receiving end. And baliktad eh. You're the ones in need. If somebody's helping you, accept it graciously. So still, because part of our Christian life is that sometimes you have to give. And sometimes you have to receive. Because other people may be in good now, learn how to give. Maybe there will come a time that you are in need. If somebody can help you, thank you. I will take it. So this is to rejoice in God's contentment. Before he used to give, now he's starting to receive. Just imagine a very wise person. Humanly speaking, Paul was a very wise person. He was a very proud person. His background was good, but he said it. I consider him not important anymore. So now, he is on the receiving end now. And this is why Paul wrote this, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory." But let us read first the verse before that. Philippians 4:19. Okay, this is in the New Living Translation. "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." So you can see the parallel here that we recognize, we acknowledge that all good things are from above. All good things are from above. And I don't know, because in life, you don't know what will happen. Maybe you are good in the past, but you will come back. Or maybe you are nothing. Or you have almost nothing in the past, but now God has blessed you. So you recognize, you look back a little bit. Who was I depending before? But now God has blessed you. God has richly blessed you. And to rejoice in the Lord, it's about having a wonderful, harmony inside. Because you belong in this fellowship, body fellowship. So make sure that I think I would like to have a wonderful fellowship with you. You know what? Honestly, for myself, I think I'm a peacemaker in a way. I'm not those things, okay? I'm just telling you something important. I think I want to be a peacemaker. However, if somebody is trying to be mad at me, I don't feel comfortable. Because I'm used to helping people to make a turn together. But if somebody is abusing me, what did I do? I feel uncomfortable if somebody is abusing me or something like that. Because I don't want to be like that. I want to help other people join together. So, I think that's part of the relationship pattern that we have. Relationship with you. Make sure that you consider it. be gentle to one another, be prayerful, everything that we have touched available. Trustful, and because of the peace that you have in Christ, you will feel secure. Secure, whether you want or not you want. So, shall we praise God?
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. I want to hear praise God.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Let us go to God in prayer. Father, we continue to humble ourselves before you, God. We have nothing to boast. You are a rich God, and out of your goodness, out of your righteousness, out of your gentleness and kindness to us, we are recipients of your goodness, God. Father, we just want to express ourselves to you. We thank you, O God, for everything that you have done, especially through Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God who is moving in our midst, O God, helping us to understand your word. It's not my words, not our words, but your word, O God. Help us to stand firm, O God, and look at other people with consideration, Father. Help us to have allowances, gentleness, being joyful and being prayerful and trustful, so that we can have the peace that passes all understanding, O God. And we know that we are secure because we are in Christ Jesus. So, Father, we just want to bring back all the glory and honor and credit. In the name of Christ, we pray all these things. Amen.